You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
When the insulating covers of the nerve cells in the brain and spinal cord are damaged, it disrupts the ability of parts of the nervous system to communicate, and we call this multiple sclerosis, or MS. This can result in a range of signs and symptoms, including physical, mental, and sometimes psychiatric problems. And as we've mentioned on this program before, the farther you live from the equator, the higher the rate of MS. And joining us today to talk about his multiple sclerosis is Robert Brenault from Massachusetts. Robert, thanks for doing this.
No problem.
When were you diagnosed with MS?
2011, I was officially diagnosed on my 50th birthday.
50th birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. What was it like for you when the doctor told you you had MS?
It was hell. My life fell apart right then and there, pretty much, because I was already having the symptoms for probably 8 years prior to being diagnosed.
What kind of symptoms?
Restless leg, they were calling it, and they were treating me with restless leg. The medicine that they gave me was deteriorating my muscles. Mm. Therefore, it was really putting a damper on my walking. And I went to see a specialist in Worcester, and she told me to get off that medicine because it's deteriorating my muscles. But I was on it for two and a half years prior. So now my walking's like very minimum because of that medication, I believe.
So as you were taking the medication, your walking deteriorated, even though the original doctor said it would help you.
Yep. Yep, they would help the spasms. Well, if they're killing my muscles, then yeah, they would stop the muscle spasms because I don't have any muscles to spasm. Correct?
Absolutely.
But I found out with my research that they have a medical marijuana strand for the same exact thing.
A specific medical marijuana strain for MS?
Yep. It's called Nordel. It's for muscle spasms and pain.
Now, before we get to your use of medical cannabis, tell me how MS has changed your life.
360 degrees. Absolutely, 360 degrees. I went from working 78 hours a week to not being able to work at all. I mean, it's turned my life upside down.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. I once heard a guy say that, I don't want to kill myself, but I do want to die. And that hit home for me, because that's exactly how I feel.
You could kind of relate to that.
Yes, definitely. With the pain that I've been in, yeah, I'm done fighting it, really. Now I'm just using cannabis. I don't really take a lot of prescription meds.
Robert, do you feel that way every day?
Yes. Yep. Every single day. Every single day I wake up, I said, why did you wake me up? Yeah.
What keeps you going?
Cannabis. Absolutely. 110%. If it wasn't for medical marijuana, I'd probably be dead. The only thing that relieves my stress, my symptoms, and pain, it helps with the pain big time. Why this is illegal is beyond me. It shouldn't be. That's for damn sure.
If you didn't have the medical cannabis, would you have taken your own life?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
You know, those of us who don't live with pain like you do and the MS that you have really can't relate to what you're going through.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's difficult to understand. I'm sure some people would say, oh, why the hell is he, would he want to take his own life for?
And, really?
Yeah. And can you elaborate a bit on what you go through every day?
What I go through every day? Just getting out of bed is a struggle. I have to go to sleep fully dressed because I can't get undressed at night. I pretty much can't do anything. I can't dress myself. I can't walk. I don't really sleep. I get spasticity when I relax. I make edibles so I can sleep at night. And when I don't have them, like last night, I went to bed at 9 o'clock. I was wide awake by 1. If I use the medical marijuana and I make my butters and I make brownies, I sleep a good 8 to 10 hours. And that's just with cannabis. That's no prescription meds. This is the first time I've actually slept 8 to 10 hours a day is when I do edibles. It's the only time I sleep. Last night I didn't have them. I didn't sleep for nothing.
Now, when you get this good night's sleep, how much different do you feel the next day?
I feel a lot better. I'm a lot more alert. Of course, I'm still in pain, but
Are you able to cope with that pain easier as a result of a good night's sleep?
Yeah, a little bit. But it's just the pain is so bad. So bad.
Robert, for you, what's the hardest part of MS? Is it the physical or the mental part?
Physical. The physical part. Because I was a go-getter, you know. I never sat down. I never took time to smell the roses. I was always working 24/7. If I wasn't working, I was thinking about working. You know, I was just a go-getter. I was on the go all the time. And then it just became dead stop.
Sounds to me like you're a bit of a type A personality, always working.
Yep. Yeah. I was. I had a job for 35 years at a big company, sports-wide. I don't even want to mention the name because I hate the company now. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, take us back to when you first started feeling some physical symptoms that weren't quite right for you.
Oh, God. That was probably 15 years ago. I started getting a restless leg. That alone was enough to drive me nuts. I was married at the time. My wife wasn't sleeping with me because of my legs. They were keeping her up. They were keeping me up. I couldn't do it. No. You know, I was working 10 hours a day and sleeping probably 3 hours a day and going to work for 10 hours, and I was a basket case.
Now, the restless leg, that was just, you were getting twitches in the night?
Yes, and they will drive anybody crazy.
Yeah, your legs just can't get comfortable.
Right, it's uncontrollable. You can feel them like they tighten up, your muscle tightens up, and then you get the spasticity. And when you get the spasticity, if I'm standing up, I actually fall because of the spasticity.
Now, when you started to get this restless leg syndrome, what did you think it was? What do you think was the cause of it all?
I actually didn't know what it was. I was really baffled about the whole thing. None of my family has ever had MS. I didn't know anybody with MS. So I didn't know what the symptoms were, what anything was. I didn't know what was going on for years. And then when I had my bike, I would get on the bike and I would be, towards the end, I would get on it and I'd be on it for 5 minutes and I would have to park the bike and get off because I couldn't, my arms and everything were all like tingly from the nerves.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to the doctor at all?
Oh, my God. I complained to my primary for about 8 years of all the symptoms. And then when he diagnosed me, he handed me the paper with all the symptoms, and I said, what the hell took you so long? I had to ask for a MRI to get the results because he was sending me for everything but an MRI. And when I got the last results for the x-ray that he did, I called him right away and said, I want to see a neurologist. And she found it within my first appointment. She found it right away.
So your primary for 8 years didn't discover or didn't even have a clue that you may have MS, but your neurologist on the very first visit diagnosed you with MS.
Yep. Yep. He didn't even give me a neurologist. I had to ask for one.
You must have been pretty angry.
Yeah, I hate Bay State Hospital. I wouldn't recommend anybody to go to that hospital.
So you're diagnosed with MS, and did they put you on any medications at the time?
Once they diagnosed me with, yes. They put me on an injection, which is called Copaxone. I don't know if it works or not, but I tried getting it off of it a couple of years ago, and I had a really bad attack.
What's the Copaxone supposed to do?
It's supposed to put a Band-Aid on it so it doesn't get worse. It doesn't progress. But I have the worst MS. I have primary progressive, so, you know, it's unfortunately, it's going to get worse no matter what.
Are you on any medications today outside of cannabis?
I'm on a few that I know actually work, yes. Like the medicine to slow the progression down. It's Aubagio. I don't want to be on it, but it does work. Because I was off it for a couple of days, and boy, that couple of days was living hell.
Now, from the time you were diagnosed with MS by the neurologist to today, how different are you from that period? Is it gotten much worse?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. And stress has got a lot to do with it, too. You know, stress is not good for MS. And I went through hell when I first was diagnosed because I was married. And she had kids that were drug addicts. And I had to come home every day to that, you know, and I couldn't live like that. And I went to see my doctor, and he knew what I was going through with the family, and he told me I have to relieve some stress. So that's what I did. I told her exactly what I was doing. I was going to go up to Maine. I was going to make my log bed. And when I got home, stuff's got to change around here. It really does. And when I got home, my 5-year-old grandson was here and ran up to me and said, Grandpa, Mommy's in jail again. And I looked right at my wife and I said, does he have to come down here and kick me in the ass? And she said a few choice words and that was it. The marriage was over with. I believe in a higher power. I believe in God. And I asked him for help and, I mean, I came home and my stepdaughter was in jail again. And supposedly she was doing better. So I just told her, you got to go. I can't do this anymore. You know, when a 5-year-old kid walks up to you and says, Mommy's in jail again, really?
Yeah. Robert, when did you start to take cannabis?
Actually, before I was diagnosed. Because I knew it would help me sleep. I wasn't into the cannabis that much at that time. But once I got diagnosed, I really started doing a lot of research. And I came up with, you know, the Rick Simpson oil. I do that when it's available. I do the CBD oil. I make edibles. It gave me my life back. But I really didn't because I have MS and there's nothing worse than MS. I wish it was cancer. And I hate saying that, but I really wish it was cancer because then I would have a chance. With MS, I don't have a chance at all. As of yet.
Well, you know, Robert, we interviewed a fellow in Ontario, not too far from you, who was paralyzed from the neck down with MS, and he started taking cannabis. And granted, he takes a lot of it, smokes it, and takes the oil.
Yeah.
And he now plays in a rock band.
No way.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No way. Politician says that's not true. Oh, my God.
No, one of the things that he remarked on is I asked him about feeling in his hands and legs, and he said he has numbness in the bottoms of his feet and in his hands.
Yep.
And that will never go away. But, yeah, he was, I interviewed him, I think, Corey, you were in Prague at the time.
Yes, yeah.
And I interviewed him on Skype, and he was sitting there smoking, and he was fine. But he was paralyzed from the neck down. And how it started was he was in a wheelchair, and he was out with his friends, and they were smoking a joint, and they offered him, said, why don't you try it? So he tried it, and he said the very first toke he took, he could feel some relief.
Yeah.
And so he just started. It was a remarkable story. And,
really?
And I think, you know, I don't want to give you false hope, but I think, you know, if you start taking cannabis oil and doing what you're doing, you know, there's a chance that you may arrest the progression of it. Now,
yeah,
you mentioned the type of MS you have, and I'm not familiar with the various types.
Yeah, progressive.
It's the worst MS you can get. There's four different kinds of MS, and I have the worst.
Yours is what, progressive primary or something?
Primary progressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I've known a few people with that. I have to tell you, yeah. I had a lady, this was when I first started helping people back east, who had been in a wheelchair for 15 years. And I got her pointed in the right direction, and she started on high THC oil. And she phoned me, 5 weeks later to give me an update. And she said, my wheelchair's in the garage. And I thought, shit, she broke her wheelchair. And she said, Corey, I'm walking unassisted. I got rid of my Depends, and I went shopping for the first time in 3 years today.
Really?
And then she started crying, saying, you've given me my life back. Well, I didn't. The cannabis did, right? But, you know, maybe, I mean, I'm wondering, Robert, if, you know, like this Nordal works really well on the spasms, but I'm wondering if you mixed up a couple more strains or something, whether you might see a bit more difference.
Exactly. Exactly. The problem is politicians. That's the problem. Politicians and doctors. Politicians don't believe in it, and doctors don't believe in it, especially Bay State doctors. My doctor has been telling me for, I don't know, probably 5 years now to use medical marijuana, use medical marijuana. That's all he said. I called to get a recommendation to get my card so I wouldn't have to pay $200 to get it. He told me he couldn't do it. He told me he doesn't recognize medical marijuana. I said, really? So now I got to find another doctor because he doesn't even recognize marijuana. He doesn't record it on any of my documents, which is bullshit. He should be putting it on my records. That's why it's not known to the public, because doctors don't recommend it. They don't put it in your records, I should say. My particular doctor that works for Bay State Hospital doesn't record anything.
Robert,
so how's the public supposed to know if the doctors don't put this in their records?
Robert, whereabouts in Massachusetts do you live? Do you live near Boston?
About an hour and a half from Boston.
Okay, there's a doctor in Boston called Jordan Tischler. Dr. Jordan Tischler. T-I-S-H-L-E-R.
I got my PCA standing right here.
Okay. His name is Dr. Jordan Tischler. He's in Boston, worked for the VA for a number of years, about 15 years, and now he is a medical marijuana doctor in Boston. Excuse me.
I want him.
And
spell his last name?
Tischler, T-I-S-H-L-E-R. We've interviewed him twice on this program.
So, yeah, you can find him in the podcasts.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll look.
Give him a call, make an appointment with him, and he probably will help you out. Tell him that you were talking to us.
I will. I will.
See if he'll give you a discount.
Right?
Robert, is Massachusetts is a medical state, is it not? A legal medical state?
Yes.
Yeah. But the ignorance rages on.
Oh, big time. Big time. The dispensaries don't even want to work with you, you know?
Oh, I know.
It's like people aren't caring enough to help you.
And is it a case of they're not caring or they don't have the knowledge as well? Because I've got to tell you, I spoke to four different people yesterday who had obtained product from dispensaries and were having issues and didn't even know the basic things about what they had. And I'm saying, well, have you spoken to the dispensary where you got it? Oh, they don't know anything and they won't answer my questions and blah, blah, blah. I guess once it's sold, there you go. And that's where it ends. So there's a gap there in getting the information out.
Yeah, not to mention the prices are outrageous. You know, they want $350 for an ounce of weed. I mean, whoa.
Yeah, no, Ian's looking at me kind of, I don't know if that's a question of how much it is here, but I know here at the Victoria Cannabis Buyers Club, it's depending on what string you get, anywhere from 180 to 200 is the top for an ounce.
Really?
For an
I'm going
ounce.
To Canada.
Yeah. So, you know, and then take into consideration, too, the exchange. You're looking at, he's talking about basically $400 for an ounce of cannabis.
Yeah, I mean, geez, right. In the 60s, and you could buy it for $10.
Right?
Yeah. Ian used to flog it on the corner.
Yeah, that's right.
Now we only get a gram of oil out of it. So
only a couple of grams, that's for sure. Not very much. But so what is a typical day like for you then, Robert, as far as medicating yourself?
I do a lot of edibles. I don't really smoke a lot. I do mostly edibles. And I just hooked up with a Happy Farms counseling. The guy's name is Nathan Martin, and he's working with me. I just found him about 2 weeks ago, and he's been working with me. So if you call me in a couple months, things might be a little different because I actually have real access to medical cannabis. And it's a person that will actually listen to me of what my problems are. We sat here the other day for a couple hours medicating and drinking coffee and talking about my symptoms and everything else. And the guy's awesome. Awesome. He's given me all kinds of edibles to try. And I've tried a couple of them, and a few of them are working, a few of them aren't, which, you know, it's all trial and error.
Trial and error, yeah.
Yeah, especially this early. Everybody's just starting to work with it. And for me, it's done wonders for me. Absolute wonders.
Robert, what happens when you have the ability, capacity to ingest oil versus smoking it? What kind of results do you see then?
I see better results by eating it, the oil. Smoking it is like right away, but I don't like the high that it gives you. You know what I mean? So I like a high CBD strand, but I need the THC too. I'm trying to make the Rick Simpson oil, which I have a thing right here, but I ran out. You know, I'm always running out. I can't do it on a daily basis because of financial reasons. And, you know, obviously it's not readily available like it should be for the people.
What's a gram of oil worth in Massachusetts?
Around $50 of pure oil.
Right.
Because they like to dilute it around here with whatever.
Robert, given the fact that you've got someone to help you with medical marijuana, are you more optimistic about the future now?
Yeah, kind of. I'm getting very frustrated with it. You know, because you can get it, and then you can't get it. You can get it, and you can't get it.
Right.
And
so
I try to get it from the dispensary, and they don't have it. They don't have it. I was growing on my own, but I just got too bad, and I can't do it anymore. You know, I was making my own meds, and I was doing good. But then I lost my ability to do it all. to
Well, I think, you know, with the story that I told you about the fellow in Ontario and playing in a rock band, and the story that Corey told you about the woman who gave up her wheelchair, I think we should both, Corey and I, both encourage you to stick with it, have an optimistic attitude, and maybe you, at one point you can donate your wheelchair to someone.
Exactly. I would love to be able to do that. Would love. I always tell everybody, you know what? You want to know how I feel? Take my body for a day. I wish I could give somebody my body for a day and say, here, now bitch about going to work.
Yeah.
You know? No. I would love to go back to work.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. You'd love to go back to work, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I haven't worked in 8 years and I am going crazy. Crazy. Ask my PCA. I get very aggravated when I can't do stuff. Very aggravated. You know, I used to be able to do this in 2 minutes. Now it takes me 20 minutes. You know, it's crazy. I wouldn't wish this disease on my worst enemy, which is every politician in the United States.
Well, there are a lot of those around the world as well.
Yeah. You ain't kidding there.
That's right.
Corrupt.
Robert, is your mental attitude, has it remained the same or is it deteriorating?
Kathy, can you answer that?
Hi there, I'm Robert's PCA, Kathy.
Okay, hi Kathy.
She'll tell you.
The hardest thing about what I see with Robert is his frustration. I've known Robert for years and I've always known him to be a very active person. So let's say we're working in the yard. He gets really frustrated when he is unable to do the simplest task.
Because I don't have a constant supply of cannabis for my pain. You know, now that I just hooked up with this guy, I might have a chance in getting oil and all that other stuff, mm-hmm. You know, but it's so damn expensive.
And it sounds like it's really off and on about your ability to obtain what you need.
Exactly what it is. Exactly.
And I can see frustration coming out of that.
Big time. Big time. You know how many times I've been up to the dispensary and asked for their help? And they pretty much blow you off. Well, you can try this. Well, you can try that. Yeah, but you're not willing to help with people? Not willing to work with them at all?
Mm-hmm.
No, they're not. It's all about money.
Well, I think if you talk to Jordan Tischler, and the reason I recommend him is because he's in your area, but he's also extremely knowledgeable in this. And one of the reasons he got into the medical cannabis business is because when he worked for the VA, he realized that nobody was ever coming into the VA as a result of having any adverse effects of cannabis.
Correct.
And here they are. The VA was giving patients these large quantities of opiates. And he decided to research cannabis, then became a cannabis doctor. So I think, you know, with him and the fellow that's going to help you, I think, Robert, that you might have turned the corner. At least, you know, if you turn the corner emotionally, then you can work on your physical problems and
exactly
with cannabis, and then you can hop on that motorbike of yours and
get out, man.
Get happening, easy rider.
Yeah, no, I had to sell it.
Oh, there's another bike out there.
Yeah, there's another bike out there. It's got your name on it.
There's no doubt. No doubt.
Okay.
There's no doubt. Trust me, I will never stop riding.
Anything you want to say in conclusion, Robert, outside of giving hell to the politicians?
No. MS sucks. Cannabis cures. Opiates kill. Absolutely. I've had several friends pass from opiates, and that's why I went to cannabis. I researched it and researched it, and I wouldn't do anything but cannabis. Nothing but.
Well, Robert, keep us posted on your progress and let us know how you're doing.
I will, absolutely. And hopefully the next time we talk, I'll be walking.
Absolutely. You'll be in the Boston Marathon.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Robert.
All right, thank you. I hope I helped you, anybody out. And God, yes, cannabis. It's the only way to go. It's a natural plant. Mother Nature put it on Earth for a reason, I believe.
Thanks, Robert. Pleasure to talk to you.
All right, bud. Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
And if you'd like to tell your story about the medical use of cannabis, then send us an email at info@cannabishealthradio.com. Thanks for listening, everyone.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.